Hello. Hi, can you hear me, Donna? You can write in the chat too. I don't know if you're in a place where you can do that. You can say hi, or I'm just writing another message in the chat here just to make sure that the sound and picture is working.
Hi.
Hi.
Donna.
Hi, Donna. I'm so glad you made it.
Yes, for a change.
Are you on the computer?
I'm watching on the computer and on my phone for audio.
You can see me.
Yes, I can.
Oh, good. That's good, because sometimes I'll be standing here talking to myself, but that's good. Okay. So I was going to talk today about, actually first, did you have a good weekend?
Yes.
Perfect. So, and I missed Shanna's questions about eating out last week, but I figure I'll lead with that today because there's quite a few bullets I have. And then I also have a question about where to get bones for bone broth. And do you have any questions that I can add to the list, or if anything comes up, you can let me know?
Sure. Yeah. I bought bone broth this weekend at the Lansdowne Market.
Oh, great. Yes.
It had organic chicken bone broth.
Perfect.
And I don't think I can ever eat that stuff. I warmed it up and I thought I was going to vomit just from the smell.
Really?
So maybe it had turned or something, but I was like, oh, I'm not doing that.
That's strange. Yeah. So it was different from chicken soup then. Could you eat chicken soup?
Oh, I could eat chicken soup. Yeah. No, this was totally different. So.
Because it shouldn't be that different, at least not the stuff I make. I just made a batch this morning, actually, just 5 minutes ago. I took the lid of my Instant Pot.
I'll bring mine tomorrow night. You can tell me if there's something off with it. It was maybe in my car for too long because I was out and about doing errands that took a lot longer after I made my purchases.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, but it's
you know, we should trust cool.
Sorry?
It still felt cold to my, because I had bought some frozen organic meat as well. So when I took it out of the car, it still felt cold. So I don't think that would have turned it. But
I don't, unless they added some seasoning that was different or something. But normally mine doesn't taste very different from like chicken soup. It's just that when I make it, the only difference is that I put some vinegar in there and it's a longer cooking time. So, but that's interesting. Okay. But usually you should trust your nose, right? Because often.
Oh, yeah, there was no way. I was like, well, if that's what that bone broth is all about, I'm out.
I can bring some of mine tomorrow because, like I said, I just made a batch. And then you
and
can.
I'll bring mine and you can smell it.
Then we can do a little taste testing there. Yeah. Okay, good. Do you have any other questions for today? Or well, you can also type them if you're at your computer. Do you see the chat window?
I do.
Okay, so you can, if you think of something, if you don't have anything now, you can type it in there.
Okay.
And yeah, so about eating out, I think the question was about eating, how we eat fast food. And, you know, unfortunately, fast food's tricky, especially here, because there's not a lot of chains that are really targeting that market. I think it can be a gold mine in the future if somebody is doing that. I know in the U.S. There's a lot more, and maybe some of them will creep across the border. Like I think I may have mentioned this. I was in New York in the fall, and I did a little research before I went, mind you, but it wasn't hard to find, you know, well-sourced meat, and it was affordable because it was sort of fast food, or you just self-serve, or but you pay like $10 and you get a really meal of, you know, grass-fed beef, Brussels sprouts, all kinds of yummy stuff. And so I hope they'll come here. But as we stand right now, like I don't eat fast food very often, if ever, in Ottawa. So what I can say is, though, if it's something you do, try to do it less, because it's all about, you know, this transition period. Because we really can't eat our way to health at fast food restaurants, because the food there is often, I think it's the price that determines a lot of the quality of the ingredients, plus that the fats are probably inflammatory. They're high in the refined salts and other chemical additives, you know, flavoring agents, preservatives and all that. which are inflammatory in themselves, but also they crowd out other foods that are anti-inflammatory and that, you know, supplies nutrients that you need to produce energy, healing, detoxing, balance your hormones and all of that. So that's sort of with the fast food. But if you have to go look for the change that at least on the surface seem healthier, like I said, I haven't done a lot of research here, but if you have comments, feel free to share them. Like there's the freshie that at least looks healthier. I don't think their stuff is organic from what I've seen, but it's obviously a lot better than restaurants as fast foods. Well, the fast foods, I'm just got a question from Donna here. Restaurant food, are you considering restaurants as fast food? Well, the places I ate at in New York, they weren't like fancy sit-down restaurants with table service. And so restaurants would be, I'm going to talk about like eating in a conventional sit-down restaurant with table service in a moment. And but there's also this sort of in-between self-serve style, you know, almost like eating at IKEA. You get a tray and you just put what you want, or they weigh your plate. There's also those green table and those places. Just be cautious with, you know, maybe avoid, so there's not too much soy in those places. But you really want to, but if you're going to go to Freshie, for example, eat what you can see what it is. So just be careful with the sauces and dressings. Maybe just ask for something very plain, like you get the vegetables and or a salad, and then you just ask for a dressing that's, the ingredients are listed, or you can ask for maybe olive oil and lemon juice or vinegar. So there is no any of those emulsifiers that may hide gluten and dairy in the sauces. It's just a way of eating around and choosing well in those places. And Chipotle, I think, can be also an alternative. I'm not sure if it's in Ottawa yet. I think it's in Canada. And you may just opt to get the protein, the guacamole, the vegetables you can eat. I know I've done that when we traveled in the U.S. and there was like no other food. We were like driving for hours. And that was an option. You just have to maybe opt. You may not be able to find the combination that you want on the menu, but that's usually not a problem. And then when you go to those sit-down restaurants, when I see Donna here, she ate at Milestones and had salmon shrimp salad. Yes, so that's really, really good because you can see what you're eating. And I think they're quite used to, at most sit-down restaurants, to accommodate all kinds of food sensitivities or food preferences. And so just order off the menu. So scan the menu and see, maybe there's a couple of things. You want the protein from one dish and the maybe the grilled vegetable and the salad from another. So do that. And again, be careful with the things that you can't see what they are, like sauces and things, and try to avoid breaded things. And always ask for the olive oil and some lemon. They're usually happy to provide that if you just want to season up your food. And also, sometimes the quality of meat may be questionable. You don't know if it's very processed meat. You can always be vegetarian when you're eating out. That's an option too. I know some people do that. And also eat the type of proteins that you know are on the cleaner side, if you think they have a lot of sort of conventionally raised chicken and beef and you want to avoid that. You can maybe order things like mussels or squid or calamari, like grilled calamari with lemon, which is great this time of year especially. And you get the vegetables and the salad and just sort of build your own plate. So obviously you wouldn't go to a sit-down restaurant every day. So at the root of all of this is really that we get more food made at home, either I would. You would eat, yeah. Yeah. That I think, yeah, Donna's saying that she would eat at a restaurant every day. I think that's what you're referring to, right? So you can chime in too if you want to talk. So yeah, that would be nice. But so you're going to have to be selective, especially for things that you do on a regular basis. It's more important, unless you're really trying to avoid an allergen to calm down your immune system. Maybe we talked about that you have these sort of memory cells or B cells that circulate in your circulation, and they are kind of looking for even the smallest little quantity of, let's say, gluten protein sequence or dairy protein sequence, and they're not really going to relax until there's been none of that around for like 3 to 6 months. So that's why we want to be extra careful, also for cross-contamination and things like that when we eat out. So it's a little extra precaution, but in general, it's not a problem. And also, if you're going out with, say, a group of friends, look at the menu ahead of time, go on their website and call if you're not sure they're able to accommodate. And you can also maybe talk to them so they prepare something ahead of time. They often appreciate some heads up, because sometimes they say, oh, you should have called ahead, then we could have done something much better for you. So I've been to places, there's a place called Carben, C-A-R-B-E-N in Wellington. I don't know if you've been there. It's really nice. And they were very, very good, and because they wanted me to call ahead. And there's a lot of restaurants like that. And also if you're in a group and you don't want to bring a lot of attention to your dietary restrictions, you can also either do the call ahead and just kind of mention, you know, tell them you want to be discreet about this, or it could be if it's a business meeting or something, you don't want it to sort of everybody at the table listen to you when you order, especially if you're new at ordering off the menu. So you can call ahead, or you can, you know, go to the washroom and just speak to the waiter then and just tell them that if you appreciate it, if they can be discreet, and just tell them that these are your limitations. That's the way around that. And if you're ordering anything fried, which I don't really recommend to start with, and you'll know more about that when we talk about fats in about a week, ask if the oil is gluten-free, because they often deep fry in the same oil. It could be, you know, something breaded in flour, and then they'll do, you know, French fries that are potato seems to be gluten-free, but not if they'd be a cross-contamination from the oil. And don't feel bad or allow anyone else to make you feel bad if you're, it's a little more complicated to eat out, because you're doing what it takes to heal and to protect your health. And you're also making it easier for those who are yet to kind of embark on this journey. Because I think a few years from now, 5, 10 years even, it's going to be a lot easier. And you're kind of making that happen by not being afraid to ask for what you need. And then, you know, if they're good business people, they're going to, you know, respond to that demand, right? So, and also keep some snacks that you can sort of add on to, whatever you order. If for whatever reason it's not perfect, you can always, if you maybe not keeping it for weeks in your purse, but you can have, you know, throw a lemon or an avocado in your purse before you go out if you're not sure they're going to have what you want, especially if you go on a road trip, because it may be harder once you get out of the city to find things. If you get a salad, you can put some avocado and lemon juice on, and, you know, you have a pretty good meal and some good healthy fats that also keeps you full. And keep some sunflower seeds or pumpkin seeds or nuts in your purse. It can also be used to top off a dish to make it more complete and more satisfying and filling. And yeah, I hope this helps. Do you have any follow-up questions, Donna, since you're online? Okay, so...
Yes, I was online. I was just on mute.
Okay, yeah.
I was just taking my sound out, so I was trying to get my phone back to where I could unmute it.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, I think for me, part of the challenge just is that I don't think that I have a lot of sensitivities, or like I'm not really aware that I do have them.
Mm-hmm.
So the motivation for me is weight loss, right? And I want to be healthy, and I want to lose weight. But... like the only time this week that I really felt my blood sugar go funny was after the restaurant meal, probably because I had a glass of wine.
Okay. And how does that compare to in the past? Would your blood sugar go funny more often, or?
Probably, yeah. I was probably feeling that way more than I have over the past 3 weeks. But I was the first time I was really aware of, like, ooh, I've done something here to myself. And I mean, I came home from having a nice salad and it was very filling, to wanting to eat again when I got home. And it's like, why? Like, I had protein, I had vegetables. You know, I think there was just honey in the dressing that I had. So maybe that sugar and the wine must have spiked my insulin. And then I was home and hungry, which I didn't indulge myself because I knew I had just had a good meal. But I think that those things threw me a little bit.
But that's great insight, right? Because it's you understood that what was going on there a little bit, and you were able to kind of use the information and make a choice that was good for yourself, right? Instead of just following your sensations. Yeah,
and I only had 5 ounces of wine.
Okay, yeah.
There was also more ounces.
Because alcohol does, it's like sugar in the blood, right? So just, it's because it's, you know, depending on how sweet the wine is, but alcohol in general, it's just calories and sugar. It does have that impact. So just take that into account and maybe have a little extra fat and protein to balance that out, you know, fiber and
Like, I don't think I'll do it again in the near future, but I just felt like having a glass of wine.
I think we should be able to kind of, especially further down the road, to do that. And it's also have, what, maybe you started drinking it like before you got the food. So it's like in an empty stomach, and how fast you drink and like all that stuff factors in as well.
Right. Yes, I could have had it a little slower.
There you go. Yeah. So no judgment, but it's just observations, right? Which is good. And but the other thing that happens that's really interesting, what you said, that you may have noticed that you ate some, you have felt a little off. And what happens when we start eating cleaner? It's like we're stepping off the stepping stone, and it's like our body, when we eat a regular diet, it doesn't have the energy to keep protesting because it's being often bombarded all the time with things you can't tolerate. So as you start eating cleaner, your body will protest more loudly, and you may think, oh my God, I was able to eat this before. Why can't I have this now? And I had a piece of bread after not eating any gluten or dairy for like a few weeks. It's like, wow, that really told me it wasn't good for me. It could be stomach cramps, you know, like could be all kinds of stuff, and just brain fog or a rash will come out. It could be all kinds of symptoms, and it's really individual, but your body may message more clearly. Something to be aware of. So have you have you had any problems, or have you had any more opportunity to experience just doing the ordering off the menu, or was this something that was on the menu that you ordered?
It was on the menu.
Yeah. So one thing you could think of next time, if you want something similar, that you ask for a different dressing, right? If you felt that the dressing was a little on the sweet side, or just ask for that kind of do-it-yourself combination.
Yeah. I mean, I've had honey in it, which I know I'm supposed to be avoiding, but I enjoyed it. Like, I didn't mind a little bit of extra.
Yeah. No more if you want to kind of really avoid it, or if you think it's got one of these, you know, creamy thick dressings. Let's say you go to Freshie or something, and it's like just something white in a bottle, and you don't know what it is. It could be some of these things that you really want to avoid for that keep the immune system calm. Then you can just ask for that more oil and vinegar thing. And so it's a little boring maybe, but at the same time, remember that your palate is resetting, and you'll probably be appreciating flavors, more subtle flavors better. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed any of that, or?
Am I the only one on the call, or is there other people? I'm just.
I think it's just you today because.
I don't want to talk too much and kind of manipulate it with all my stuff.
She couldn't call in, so she sent me an email instead ahead of time. So.
Yeah, I think my palate was already reset because I was pretty much a vegetable, healthy, not a lot of salt or sugar on a general basis, but then I would have my junk food episodes, but not every day and not all the time. So like, I can appreciate stuff that I know people that I make it for probably don't appreciate it because it tastes bland to them. But
That's something that's good. And also often, I don't know if you've had any junk food, but it'll be an aversion to some of those foods because they feel just overly salty or sweet or just, you know, chemical sort of, that could be another thing, like things that you used to love suddenly like, oh my God, how could I eat this? It's like, cause it's just,
yeah.
You really taste that it's not a natural food anymore and your body is like protesting, right? But it's, yeah, so that
I can eat anything at Tim Hortons. All you can taste is the chemicals in Tim Hortons. Like, it's really scary. Like, if you have a vegetable soup at Tim Hortons, you think that would be a good choice.
Yeah.
And it's not, because it just tastes disgusting.
Okay, yeah, so you have your chemical radar up.
Yeah, and that's been like that for a while.
Yeah.
So it's not, that's not good for me.
That's really good, because that's like, mm-hmm. you know, that's an instinct that helps protect you, right? So,
yeah. So it makes me sad to see all these people killing themselves with food.
I know.
And children. Like, you know, I saw kids eating a fudgesicle, little babies eating fudgesicles the other day, and I was like, oh, that's so sad. But
I know. You know, that's actually a really big thing about doing, you know, this path, you know, that when you eat healthier, and also what I do with, like, knowledge is, you know, it's responsibility to know things, because you have to make different choices. But it's also, it makes it hard to see other people doing these things that are harming them, especially if it's people you really care about, right? It's really hard, because you understand the process and what's going on, and whether it's, mm-hmm. you know, when people eat, or what they're also environmentally, what's happening to the planet and all that. But that's all part of this sort of awakening, and it, that's sort of the painful part, but that's also, we can turn that into empowerment, you know, to for change for ourselves, and also for, you know, mm-hmm. to help others and globally. I think that's mm-hmm. it's a sensation, right? That has to be channeled. So, but it's good and bad, right? So, like we said before, ignorance is bliss, right? But, you know, we're done. We're past that, right? So.
Right.
Yeah.
My cat snoring. If you can hear something funny in the background, my cat is snoring.
I can't hear him. I have a dog behind me here. He's on a pillow. He's a bit quiet. That's great. So, so I'm just going to talk a little bit about the bones for bone broth. So I just actually called Marcia Hindenburg on 1059 Wellington before the call to see what they had in stock right now, because I've had some clients who said they bought bones and all kinds of things there. And so they get bones from O'Brien Farm when they get a quarter. And then if somebody requests, that they will keep the bones, and then they can be used for bone broth or whatever. Just a comment there that their beef is grass fed, but it's grain finished, and that happens sometimes. I'm not sure exactly why. I think it's because they fatten up on grain at the end, which I think is a bit of a shame. And they've been grass fed their whole life, and they finish them up on, you know,
on fattening grain. They fatten them up a bit. Well, they probably get paid per pound, right? So
exactly,
probably profitable.
Yeah, so that's something to be aware of. It's obviously better than conventional bones, because I would never make bone broth from that, because there'd probably be, like, you know, heavy metals and all kinds of stuff in those bones and residue from whatever they've been injected with. But then the other, I think the best way to find quality bones is, I have some resources on my website. I don't know if you've seen that. It's under, let's see if I can find this. Just trulyyou.com/resources, and I have a few local farms that I've personally purchased from. And but also now with the farmers market in season, there's you went to Lansdowne, you probably saw quite a few farmers selling grass-fed beef orders and things like that when you were there. Like, yeah,
there was a ton of stuff. Actually, there's a sheep farmer there selling lamb chop.
Yeah,
and they had a raw, unpasteurized sheep cheese.
Yes, so that would be the A2 protein that you could try down the road. I wouldn't recommend it now, because we have to do the, you know, calm everything down, heal things up and things. But it's nice to see those things, because if anything, that would be a food that's, you know, more, also it's raw, so it's more, has more enzymes and all that stuff. So,
yeah, I told her I was going to ask you about it and see what your thoughts were.
Yeah.
And I felt quite excited that I could potentially occasionally have some of a dairy type cheese product, because I'm sure you could do like a gluten-free pizza with it or just something, because I know I'm going to miss cheese sometimes. So yeah, it would be nice to have an option in the future.
Yeah, as long as you tolerate it, and you'll know more once you've gone through that, then you can see and you just do a little bit and don't change anything else, and you see what happens, right? So,
right. Yep.
And yeah, so there, and so the farmer's market, there's a lot of people selling, like you said, there's elk sometimes, and there's beef and lamb and maybe goat and things. So just talk to the farmers and see their farming practices, but locally they're very happy to tell you and have pictures. They say, come visit the farm, they have farm days. And so you can ask them if they have, you know, bones for sale now, or if you can put an order in. I know this time of year is when they do the big orders for when they do the slaughter at the end of the season in the fall. So if you want to get a freezer. Yeah,
I forget what farm I ended up buying most of my stuff from, but they're the ones that also had the bone broth with the chicken. And okay, everything was organic and grain fed, and it seemed to be pretty legitimate. I have their business card. Oh, here it is. It is Earth's Harvest Farm Kempville.
Yeah. That's the guy from New Zealand, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I bought his chickens too, and they're good because he's got quite a little operation there with his tractors that he moves around for the chickens and things. So. Yeah, so I think that.
Yeah, he was saying that they move and they get like fresh grass and all
yeah,
that kind of
yeah.
Thing.
And it's not that easy to find chickens that are, you know, pasture raised year round. And so, but he seems to do a lot of business with chickens. So, and he has frozen chickens. And so I bought five chickens a few weeks ago.
He had smoked chicken that I bought a package of, and I thought that was quite good.
Oh, that's nice. So that was like
a problem with. Yeah, it was like pulled almost, like pulled chicken, and it was smoked. So really nice on a salad or something like that.
Yeah. Oh. So did you have the ingredients there, and they were pretty clean, I guess?
They're just chicken and naturally smoked. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that'd be good because it's nice to get the, to mix up the texture, right? Because just bland chicken. Mm-hmm. Boring, right? So that's great.
And the flavor was really good. Yeah. And then he also had jerky that was naturally made with no nitrates. And I wondered if that's a really good snack for me because I'm on the road a lot and so that's fine.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because it's, you know, that's how I guess people used to, when they were traveling before refrigeration, they would, you know, dry the meat. It basically became jerky, right? Because it's dried protein. Right. That's great. I'm glad you found that.
Oh, good. I'm glad it's acceptable because it was good.
And
I didn't do the one that had the. Yeah, I didn't do the one that had the maple because I knew that was sweeter. So I just did the natural, and it was fine.
Yeah. So if you have the ingredients, it's always, you know, to see the actual ingredients because sometimes you find them and they can have nitrates and sometimes they have sugar in them and a lot of things like that. But like you said, you didn't. Yeah.
He said no nitrates and the natural had no sugar. So.
Okay. But it's always good if you can to actually still see a list of the ingredients. I don't know if he had that on there because, you know, at least I just like to see what's in there, you know, especially if it's on a regular basis. So it's not, maybe you'll try it once and you on that sort of word, but then you may want to get an actual list so you can really, because there are other, the celery salts acts like a nitrate, but they don't list them as a nitrate. So those things like some of these more processed sandwich meats, they say they're all natural, but then you read the ingredients and they have these sort of nitrate, you know, So I don't know if he would do that. I'm not, he probably wouldn't if he says he doesn't. So, but it's just something to be aware of. That's why it's good to complete list.
I know from him.
Yeah. And especially if it's, like I said, again, like something you plan, something you find, something you like that's really convenient and tasty and you plan on buying it on a regular basis, then it's really good to see what's in there.
Actually in it.
Yeah. So also for the farmer's market, there's the Lansdowne. That's the one in Westboro. That's the one I go to usually because it's just down the street from me. And then I think there's one in Orleans or something. I just went on their website. But if you go to OttawaFarmersMarket.ca, And then you can click on meet the vendors, and then you can just seek for beef or chicken or whatever you're looking for. And then you'll get a listing of all those vendors, and you can contact them and see if they have bone or if they take orders and what kind of quantity you need to buy. And some of them deliver, you know, throughout the year if you don't have a big chest freezer. And even if you do, maybe you want other things in it. And so it's just good to see the different setups they have and ask them about, you know, the feed and all those things. Mm-hmm. You're becoming educated. And it's nice to, you know, shop local too, because we're supporting the local farming community. And you want, that's because they were talking about that agriculture is has a big impact the way we farm, you know, conventionally today, and climate change because of the gases that are released. And when a farm drops that holistic farm picture where they have, you know, they grow some crops, they have some animals, and the manure is being used, you know, in other areas of the farm, you have this sort of cycle. You don't have waste products building up, right? Because there's a lot of methane gas from livestock farming, and then they end up needing fertilizers on the, when they grow things, they get all these chemical fertilizers, right? Because they're disconnected. Mm-hmm. So right. So really supporting those farmers that have that holistic view and are local, right? Because mm-hmm. you want it to be local. And so I think that's something that's going to come big, that people realize that the small farms is not just for health, for the food, but it's for the environment too, and to so
right.
So the farmers can make a living. That's why I think it's really, really good. So I think these farmers, you see them, you know, week in, week out, rain or shine, they're standing there, right? And they, I don't think they make a great living. Like, I don't know, but they probably, not always, right? Because it depends on the crop and, you know, but they obviously have a passion for what they're doing and a lot of integrity in what they're growing, and they just love what they do. So it's nice that, mm-hmm. you know, I feel fortunate to be able to share that with them, you know, because it's often, you know,
yeah.
such great
product. I feel that way about any Canadian business, actually. Like, I like to buy Canadian clothing and Canadian
yeah.
jewelry. And
yeah.
I'm very much about supporting our local entrepreneurs.
Yes. Yeah. No, it's, I think that's really, really important. So, yeah. So that's another website, is Savor Ottawa,
yes.
savorottawa.ca. And you can also go there under the producers and search for beef or chicken or eggs or kale or whatever.
I'm pretty much a creature of habit. I met the guy from New Zealand. He has a good farm. His stuff tasted good.
Yeah.
Didn't seem to be too expensive. So I'll just stick with him probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Did he have vegetables? He had vegetables too, right? Because he has seeds and things, I remember when I saw him.
No, he just had meat when I was there.
Okay.
Meat and okay. broth and jerky and, maybe some green plants that you could buy the plant. Maybe.
Yeah, yeah, because all that stuff is starting to come now. Like, we got asparagus at the market this week, and, you know, the young kale and Swiss chard. And the stems are so mm-hmm. tender on the kale when it's new. So I basically cooked it as its own vegetable. Like, I cut out the stems and sliced it up like asparagus almost and sautéed it with, you know, red onions and... And then I put some sunflower seeds in, so it became like a little nice side dish. And then I did the leaves separately with some zucchini. So it's like, so it's all the green stuff, all those dark green vegetables like spinach, kale, Swiss chards, and all those. They are like, they like the cool temperatures, right? So they start early.
Mm-hmm.
So right, they're already ready. So yeah. So do you have anything else, Donna, before we wrap up?
No, I think that's good. I have printed Kermit pancakes and I'm hoping to make them. I think I've got all the ingredients except plantains, and just to try a few things out. So do you want to, we can maybe end the call and then book my half hour?
Sure.
After the call comes recording?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we can do that. And for the Kermit pancakes, you can find plantains that aren't too ripe at Farm Boy most of the time, and sometimes Superstore as well. Mm-hmm. And
right,
so yep. with those Kermit pancakes, just make sure you don't eat too many, because they are a carb, and eat them with some, some of that, you know, chicken or, and some leafy above ground vegetables too. So, but they're a nice sort of treat when you're on this diet, right?
I'm feeling like I need a carbohydrate treat. So yeah that'll be good.
And they are, they were really helpful for me. And also when they have an amazing consistency when they're freshly made. And they're also good after if you freeze them and reheat them in the toaster oven. But when they're freshly made, they're like,
That's okay. Can you keep the batter and then just make two at a time?
Actually, I made them on two cookie sheets. And then once they're cooled, you can put them in a glass container and store them in the fridge for like up to 3 days or so. But if you have more, because the batch makes quite a few, just once you've just put them on the cookie sheet in a freezer or something flat, then you can individually freeze them, and then you can put them in the freezer and take them out one or two at a time and thaw them in the toaster oven in a couple of minutes, or they'll thaw very quickly.
Okay.
Have them with some wild blueberries or something.
Sure. So yeah, I'll probably do something like that.
It's good to have because it's very quick once they're done. You just heat them up in a couple of minutes, right? So. It's our equivalent of those waffles, whatever they're called. You know, those toaster waffles that people buy.
Oh, Pop-Tarts?
Pop-Tarts, yeah. So that's great. So yeah, so I'll email you right after and then we can set that up.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.